The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
I think our team actually will be mad. And I think that you can be sad or you can be mad, and you can have a chip on your shoulder and get and know we can be better and go play hard, which we'll have to play hard and well to win. Well, hard and well to win the game. That's the approach I think our team will take.
Mike Riley to get you going this morning. Welcome to it, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning, the Saturday morning edition of Hail Varsity. And of all the comments and quotes that stuck with me this week, that one from Monday, I think our team will have a chip on its shoulder. The mad approach, not sad, but mad. Kranak, what a ball game in store tonight. A lot of storylines. You and I text quite a bit before each show, and you are swaying me. I picked against Nebraska yesterday. I picked against Ohio State last week, or against Nebraska last week, against Wisconsin. You've been saying for 3 weeks that Ohio State ain't all that, and then lo and behold, you called your shot without calling your shot the weekend to Penn State when Ohio State was going there. And you just said, man, they just don't wow me. And I was like, Kranak, come on. I love you, but you're just, really? And you are all over it. And as we talked this morning before we went on air, you are swaying me a bit. Nebraska last week didn't execute. They didn't blink. They didn't back down. They just didn't get it done. Do they carry that forward? Meanwhile, you have everything but the dog and pony being pulled out by Ohio State this week. How about pressure? How about being a young football team? How about being a team that can't not go play for a championship? I mean, you get that and understand that as a Nebraska fan. That's what you want, but you're a little bit more realistic than it seems like Ohio State fan, knowing what team you have. Interesting storylines and plots today. Should be a good one tonight. How are you this morning?
You know, I'm doing good, man. And I don't mean to have you thoroughly convinced, because I'm not thoroughly convinced.
No, but you're optimistic, bro. You are optimistic. You are making some points that aren't just hope and shut your eyes and shoot one up from three, okay? I get it, and you know what? I'm buying the psychological side of this as I dig further in. I think it's going to be a major, major, major factor. I mean, the talent is, look, Nebraska has talent. Ohio State has elite talent.
Yeah, but it's not the same ballpark.
No, it's not, but as far as a maturity standpoint, Nebraska's biggest edge is this team's guts and willpower. Is that fair to say?
Well, you watched the Sam Fultz tribute, I'm sure, on BTN.
We had Bill Friedman this week, the executive producer of it. Yes.
Yeah. And we don't talk about it a lot, right? Because it's hard to. It's hard to quantify or have a real discussion about, you know, what did Sam's loss do for this actually do to the team? You know, how did it change them? We knew it changed them. Like, we knew that. I mean, anytime you lose a loved one, you change. So you knew the team would be a different team than it was when Sam was here. And I think after watching that, it sort of confirmed, I think, what we all suspected would happen, right? It sort of confirmed that, you know what? These dudes are not going to be freaked out by anything that happens on the field anymore. You know, the resolve component of this team is going to be just fine. And I mean, So you saw that against Wisconsin, and you're taking that on the road against Ohio State too. It changed them. it's so weird to talk about, but I'm convinced that the loss of Sam brought those guys together in a way that wouldn't have happened otherwise. I think it brought them together, and I think it also made them sort of play like he did, right? Literally bringing it every day, not complaining, being grateful for being on the team and for having that team.
Made you grow up.
And just getting after it. That's what the team's been missing. Look, Nebraska hasn't been so devoid of talent that they could – you know, it's been all mental with Nebraska for years now. Some physical, of course. I'm not saying they're Alabama or LSU, but I don't think Nebraska was Alabama or LSU even way back in the day when they were winning titles, right? It's mental. It's been mental with them for a while, and I feel like mentally their game is on point now. You're not going to freak these guys out. You're not going to intimidate them. You can beat them, but you're going to get your ass kicked while it's happening, right? They're going to go down swinging, no matter what. And that's sort of what Nebraska was founded on. And then now you take that plus experience, which, I mean, you know, we talked about that before the year too, when you look back at some of those games from like 2012 that BTN will play. There are a lot of dudes on this team that were taking really meaningful snaps back then. A lot of guys: Moore, Carter, Armstrong, Westerkamp, Sam Cotton. It goes on and on. Michael Rozaibe, Nathan Gary, Josh Manderis. Those guys have been playing a lot of snaps for 4 years, a ton of them. And you're taking those guys. So you think they're going to be freaked out? Even if what we just talked about with the team's collective mentality, even if that wasn't a factor, they probably wouldn't be freaked out anyways, right? This guy's been playing for 4 years. Now you throw in the fact that the team has sort of been bonded by this tragedy and everything they've been through. And dude, the psychological component, I am not worried about Nebraska. And that's all we used to worry about. Isn't it?
They're fragile. They're fragile. Something went wrong.
Are they bought in? Right. Will they respond when they get hit in the mouth? Blah, blah, blah. It was all those things that has had Nebraska most concerned over the past few years. Those aren't concerns anymore.
It's mental, not physical.
Yeah. And look, now, all that being said, now Ohio State has not been impressive for the past few weeks, and they've been showing signs for, you know, even before that I'm not quite sure they're on like Michigan's level, to be honest. Not quite sure they're on Alabama's level, and they got beat by Penn State. But you know, you say all this about Nebraska mentally being ready and they'll fight and all that, and that's great. But you remember, you know, if you ever competed in any sport at whatever level, you would always end up in a game against somebody where you're like, damn, that dude's next level. You know, where you're just like, oh my God, I'm not that good. That guy's really good. Ohio State's got like dozens of those guys. You know, I mean, they've got players. They've got guys that can really, that are just athletically gifted. I equate this, what, you know what this is? This is Wisconsin basketball versus Kentucky basketball. That's what this game is.
Guys that are talented in their own right, that have you have a couple of studs and stars if you're Wisconsin. Decker and Frank the Tank specifically, that are NBA lottery guys or top 15 picks. But for the most part, you're made up of a bunch of really good role guys that do their job exquisitely.
And they're not freaked out by the moment.
No.
And they're going to compete.
Versus Kentucky, where
McDonald's All-Americans everywhere.
Two waves of pure athleticism and talent.
Yep.
But
that's what this is tonight.
Can you work it together? Listen, I look at Nebraska, really good article on ESPN.com. And it was in the Big Ten section. And I got to get the guy's name. I'll do that here in a minute. But long and short of it is, he sat down with Tommy and just kind of picked his brain. and Tommy was pretty open about, in the past, guys would just try and do too much and try too hard because they wanted it too much. You can't ever want something too much when it comes to wanting to go out and perform and win a game. I mean, your heart's in the right place with it, but does it affect your play? And it just speaks to the maturity. And back to your point about this team kind of playing for Sam and dealing with the loss of a teammate.
Dude, that's a real thing, though, isn't it? After watching that,
but it's maturity. It's absolute maturity growing up, and it's stepping back. It's more about life than it is sports. I mean, just how you can change mentally and mature, and then you apply that to what you're doing now as a senior in college. And Tommy's. I mean, it's coach speak about, well, every game's important, even keel. But if you adopt that and truly believe in it, then it can absolutely carry you through these mega showdowns, but also the games that are you're supposed to go rock. Purdue is what I'm thinking of, okay? And it won't be as taxing to you mentally and emotionally. The whole roller coaster, getting up for a game, and then taking a week off because it's no one that's on the radar nationally. It's not, air quote, a big game. That can drain you as much as anything as a team and as a young team. Look at Ohio State. They're probably going through some of that this week. I mean, there's no reason for them to go win in Norman by a 20 spot, okay? Go out, just eke out a win against Wisconsin on the road in overtime. I mean, think of their two road wins this year. I mean, they're nuts. There's no reason you go do that, survive that. You blow one team out, you survive in overtime. After being down 10, by the way, at halftime at that place against that defense. And then turn around and then lose. Not because Penn State drives the field on you, because you don't do your job on two special teams plays.
Yeah, see, yeah. And those are important details of that game. You know,
right? And, like, and then even last week, Ohio State was gritty enough to not let Penn State beat them twice.
Yeah,
but damn it, they needed Barrett something fierce because he won it for him. He burnt the clock. He killed the clock against Northwestern. They had no answer for Thorson. I mean, Northwestern looks like a top 25 team now. They look 1,000% different than the Saturday night Nebraska played them, because they've gotten better. So it all kind of goes back to, again, this ESPN article about how there is so much sincerity in Tommy's comments about just being even keel and just doing your job and not trying too hard, and it bodes well. And it comes down to confidence and mentality, and back to your point about what you kind of witnessed and saw as a Nebraska fan on the journey this week. Just these guys are playing for something way, 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 way bigger than themselves, and they're trying to appropriately tribute to their fallen teammate every Saturday.
You know what, that game afterwards against Wisconsin, I'm having a hard time comparing it to any other game that Nebraska's played. And I've heard, you know, some people are saying, 93 Florida State, when you walk off the field and know that you can compete, or, you know, 09 Texas, where there's honor and defeat. It felt different than both of those.
Well, it
felt like Nebraska. What I think is that
context and stage, yeah, because it was a regular season game.
Yeah, but I think what happened there was, I think there why there wasn't so much vitriol from Husker fans or whatever. It's because they sort of looked familiar in that game. They sort of looked like yeah. That's how you're supposed to do it on the big stages. You might not win them, but damn it, bring it. You know, hit those dudes.
There's pride and proudness, right? Is what it was.
It's been forever since you've seen that. It's been forever. And so it's sort of like Nebraska fans just felt comforted with, like, you know what? Yeah, that'll work. Like, if we try that mentality out and then get just a little sharper on the field,
mm-hmm.
maybe get a little healthier on the O-line, that sort of thing. Nebraska can compete with anybody. Like, there's, I almost think, you know, there's one of those major moments in program history that sort of happen off the field.
Mm-hmm.
this was a decision off the field, you know, go way back to Nebraska switching to a 4-3.
Right.
Totally changed Nebraska's trajectory in the early 90s. You know, the firing of or the retiring of Tom Osborne, the firing of Frank Solich, like things like that just really altered. I honestly believe that Sam Foltz's death is one of those similar moments because, this is going to carry forward. You know what I mean? Even after this senior class is gone, I think the way that Nebraska is approaching things now, the sort of player-led accountability that has taken hold, that's going to stick around. And I think you can honestly pinpoint it. I think you could point to the loss of Sam as being one of those moments that just alters Nebraska's trajectory for a while, for quite a long time. That you know they're going to come back next year with a very similar mentality. I mean, do you have any doubts that as long as like Kyron Williams is on that team and Zach Darlington's on that team and Drew Brown's on that team, do you think, you know what I mean? Like it's going to carry forward for a while. Nebraska is back in that regard.
Leadership needs to pay it forward. I mean, you can't just assume it'll go on forever because if it's not emphasized and then if that culture's not passed on, then it can go away. It takes such a long time to develop and build that. And what you touched on as far as off-the-field things or schematic things that affected, you can point back. Right? You can point back to Osborne going from a pass offense to going to the option and getting Turner Gill. You can point back to the early 90s, going to that 4-3 to get speed on defense and cover, you know, beat Oklahoma, but be ready to beat Miami. You need to take that next step. And now, yeah, our guys playing and trying to emulate and honor Sam Foltz every football game. Yeah. It's not a schematic change, awfully, but it's honestly, but it's honoring a teammate. That
it's fundamentally changed the program.
Yes, I don't, and I think it'll continue to do so.
I don't think this is a 1-year thing. You know what I mean? Like that sort of mentality just starts to permeate the entire operation. Like I don't think that next year Nebraska is going to come out and all of a sudden we have to worry about them psychologically again. You know what I'm saying? Like. And unless there's some sort of, you know, ridiculous leader that's, you know, getting drunk all the time and is divisive on the team or something, right? Like, if Nebraska gets some bad apples, sure, that can change. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you get that same sense? It just feels like, and I feel like most Nebraska fans think this too, that Nebraska is back from that perspective to where you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about their mentality and whether or not they think they can compete and whether or not they'll curl up into a ball when things get rough. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
I think they're absolutely embracing the challenge, and we shall see how it shakes out tonight. Nebraska, Ohio State, plenty to get into. And what's Ohio State dealing with between their ears? On the show, we just started rolling with this. Coming up, Brandon Vogel, less than an hour away. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, less than an hour away. You can join us this morning on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Kind of to your question, Mark, do you think Nebraska's turned the corner mentally after last Saturday, and does that carry forward today? You absolutely say yes. I don't think they're going to be intimidated or will flinch. I just think talent wins out in this instance. It's a tall ask to go back to back, but Nebraska's head's in the right place going into this, and Mike Riley painted that picture 1,000% clear in Monday's press conference. A break coming up, and we had a great chance to sit down with one of those senior leaders, Trey Foster, tight end, Pride of Lincoln Southeast. And Trey's done a great job at tight end for Nebraska. We'll hear from Trey Foster. I want to remind you about safe driving. It demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. and about 10,000 drivers arrested for drunk driving each year in Nebraska. Reduce your risk of being involved in a crash or being arrested by planning ahead and finding that designated driver. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska tight end Trey Foster with us. Trey, hey, great ball game for Nebraska. So, so close. And let's go back a week and tell me a little bit about the prep you saw from yourself and the teammates getting ready for this stage.
When it was getting ready for Wisconsin, you know, we made sure that communication was key because we knew it was going to be loud out there. We knew it was going to be a wild stadium. And we knew they'd throw things at us like stemming defenses, especially with the loud noise, not being able to necessarily hear the hut the best way. You know, we just made sure that we made this prep about us, and that's the same way we're going to do it this week.
How'd you feel about the offense? Against a defense like that, it's going to be tough. 10 points in the fourth quarter, forced overtime. What were you pleased with offensively? What are some things just generally that you kind of want back?
First off, what I'm happy about is that, you know, we struggled somewhat in the second quarter and we put points up in the second quarter. That was nice. And I was also pleased about the fact that, you know, we fought the way we did, as we've been doing in the fourth quarter, and came in and tied it up. Things that I wish we could have done a little bit different, just making sure that we know the details of everything we do, so that we can put ourselves in the best situations on the field. You know, there are always things out there on the field that, you know, coach is going to tell you, when you look at film after practice and after games, it's not as good as you thought it was, and it's not as bad as you thought it was either.
What did you take away from the review session? What was kind of touched on by your group? How do you think the tight ends performed? What's the attitude moving forward? I mean, is it frustration because you were so close? Are you guys more hungry? Or is it different than maybe in the past with after a big game?
After this one, you know, it was just more about knowing we got to get back to work on Sunday. You know, it's always tough after a game that comes down to it at the end and you don't pull through. It's tough sometimes. But, you know, this is a group that's dealt with those kind of losses before. We're not new to those, and we're not new to coming up short sometimes when we give our best effort, but we came back to film. You know, we addressed the things that we should have done better and that we will in the future. I don't expect guys to be hanging on to this loss for a long time because we got a lot more things to do for the rest of the season. We've got a good amount of season left, and how it's different from last year, probably. You know, I feel like we've done a better job this year in some of the games that are expected to win. Still, we're still a team that's playing four quarters. So I feel like we're putting ourselves in better situations than we were last year. And that's really helping us out, especially when it comes down to the end of it.
Couple more minutes here, Trey Foster, Hail Varsity Radio. Confidence-wise, was there any doubt heading into Saturday that you guys could hang, or did you go in ready to kind of be the aggressor, be that team that throws the punch from a mentality standpoint?
You know, our defense going into it was probably the most confident I've seen in a long time. That really made me confident as well, because you see the other side of the ball that much more confident than possibly you're even, and that makes you think, okay, well, you know, we go against them every single day, and they're coming into this with the best mentality. I love it, and I'm going to make sure I do my job, because I know they're going to do theirs, and they did their job. They had a great game. And If we were confident going into it, we knew that we could compete with this team. A lot of us remembered 2 years ago going to Wisconsin and getting embarrassed, and that hurt. That pain, we remembered. We didn't forget that, and we came in there with a purpose to go out there and play a good game of football. And I'm proud of us. Proud of the effort we gave, and I'm excited to see what we've got this Saturday.
It's a little payback in the back of the mind.
From last week, yeah, a little bit.
Trey, let's talk about Ohio State. You're a guy that has watched and grown up with some college football. When you think of Ohio State, what comes to mind?
Playmakers. They got them all over the field. And that's on defense, special teams, and offense. And so they know how to make plays out of nothing. They got a lot of guys that can do that. And with that in mind, you know, we've just got to stick to our fundamentals and giving the ball to the playmakers that we have, and letting the guys that are on defense that can make big plays do what they do. Because, you know, we're a team as well that's got guys that are going to make big plays, make things happen, play a game that's going to be full of game changers, and it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a really exciting game.
Just watching Tommy, his body language, his attitude this year, I mean, you want to talk about the epitome of your senior quarterback. He's been there and been pretty locked in. He's led the offense in an effective way. What have you seen from him as a player when there's some adversity? I mean, have you been pretty impressed by his leadership and how he's responded?
He feeds off of the defense, and if they let up a touchdown, he's like, all right, let's go score then. And if they make a big play, he's like, all right, let's go score then. Every single time. It's the same attitude every single time. And that consistency is really helping. It really helps the offense because, you know, no matter what, you're going to feed off of your quarterback. He touches the ball almost every play. And so if he's coming out with a wishy-washy attitude, then you don't know how to feel about it. And some guys don't go with that well. And to have somebody consistently in there that's got the same attitude every single time just makes it for a less of a roller coaster kind of game, and just makes it more steady and gives us what we need.
Trey, now I got to bring this up. Some of us in the room here graduated from Southeast a long time ago. Some of us not so long ago. And the Southeast Knights had a 21-0 lead over East, opening round of the playoffs here. And East got hot. Tip your cap to them, 24-21. As a Knight, how do you react?
Disappointed. Yeah. Just disappointed. You know, they played. You got to play a full game.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. That's why you play the game, too. Yeah, you know, things on paper don't always go the way they look in the game, and that's why you play the game. And so, you know, yeah, you got to tip your cap to the Spartans for coming back and fighting back hard. It reminds me of our comeback game against Grand Island my senior year, coming back to win 28-27. And
you guys won state, didn't you?
Yeah, we won state at the end of the year, too. So that was a good senior year.
There we go. Little night love. And next year, I guess, for Southeast. Trey Foster. Trey, best of luck, man. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Great to have you. Saturday morning, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Be sure to join HailVarsity.com. Be a premium subscriber and take part of the message boards, just searching it out. Good write-ups by Jake Jensen. when it comes to some key matchups, some X factors. And I like some of these matchups. Intrigued to see how they go. You can hear us on ESPN 1480. Also, the ESPN 1480 app. It's free for your Apple or Android, and it works out pretty well. Thanks so much to Trey Foster and Old Southeast Knight for joining us. And Foster's such a veteran, such a grinder. He's done well at tight end. Seathan will be back today. We'll see how much Seathan can do in the blocking side of things. But from a reception side, look for Seathan to get things rocking in that slot or flex spot. How about Trey Foster just laying it out there with what's really firing teammates up? And it's the defense and how they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear, well, play for the guy next to you. Well, they're doing it this year. They are doing it this year. There's a lot of faith in the defense. I don't think the offense feels as much pressure. If you want to get down to it, the offense probably is sending thank you cards when they've been sputtering to the defense, because defense kept Nebraska in every ball game and been a reason to this start. You go all the way back to the Oregon game to last week, where the offense didn't get going, and then when they did, it was 10 points in the fourth quarter and forced overtime. They're always picking each side of the ball up. They have each other's back. And I loved his comments on Tommy, because Foster's one of the dudes that lives with Tommy and Jordy, just about how that defense has kind of helped change Tommy's body language, Tommy's belief, so to speak. I'm probably going overboard here and reading too much into it, but I thought it was pretty interesting to hear, Mark.
Yeah, and by the way, Seathan Carter, Aaron Sorensen, was reporting on HaleVarsity.com. From what she was told, Seathan will play, but he's limited in blocking.
Yep.
Or at least that's the word that's getting out. So who knows if that's gamesmanship or whatnot. But did you hear Trey, too? And I'm not sure people would respond really well out of context in most years to somebody coming off an overtime loss and talking about how proud he was of how the team played. But I think in this context,
yeah,
knowing the Wisconsin Demons,
mm-hmm,
that Nebraska had faced for so long, who has a problem with that, right?
No,
nobody.
You're being honest.
Well, and the I think Husker Nation agrees.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, what was the other thing on the Big Ten journey? I mean, even Zach Darlington himself talking to Gerald Foltz. He's like, well, at least we proved we can play with anybody. You know, I think those questions will probably finally stop. So even the players know it, right?
It's like it's real.
They hear it too.
It's real. The confidence factor in sports in these big games that went so sideways for so long is real. It's absolutely real when you step on the field as someone trying to you're not just trying to beat the opponent today, you're trying to beat the opponent from 4 years ago. Yeah, it lingered and hung.
It is such a different challenge tonight that Nebraska's facing. It is so different. I mean, you almost could not compose a team any differently than Ohio State and Wisconsin. I mean, they're playing the same sport, but not really, man. I mean, it is so different. Like,
they got to go about it different ways. They
do. God. And Wisconsin is so ridiculously disciplined and so ridiculously, like, I mean, they pull out all stops, man. Did you see, the pass interference call, no call,
like,
against Jordan Westerkamp?
Yep.
You see where TJ Watt started?
Oh, I know, right? Where it's the Oregon route. I mean, it looked like it was the same type setup. Oh. It wasn't quite as short, but you get my point. They had him in the slot, and what does Wisconsin do? They drop their outside guy all the way across the other side of the field to double team Westerkamp.
Right into that spot. He was essentially lined up at defensive end on the opposite side of the field.
And then he goes and takes off like he's running for a water bottle on the far sideline.
How freaking studied do you have to be
to even be able to pull that off against? Right.
Right. Like, how prepared? How much film study do those guys do? Are you kidding me? Like, they knew the route that was coming and they dropped basically a defensive end right into that spot. Like, what? Like, I mean, come on. That Nebraska will not face that against Ohio State today. They will not face that level of sort of like
discipline,
mental
is what
acuity.
I say.
Right. Like, those dudes were just, they are so focused, locked in. Pretty much every sort of defensive call available to mankind is available to them, and they can execute it. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Today, way different. It's not how Ohio State plays. It is not how Ohio State plays at all. So, I mean, and so, they're basically saying Ohio State, it's like Kentucky basketball, right? They're just, our dudes can beat you off the dribble. Yeah, run a chaser on this guy, go ahead. Double team that guy, fine. We'll get this other guy in one-on-one space. Like, that's how they play. They're just like, our players are better than your players, and that's it. So let's tee it up and let's see what happens.
Mark Crane, at Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, winding down hour one. About 10 minutes away, Brandon Vogel going to join us, Gary Sharp. And if you miss Trey Foster, can log on hailvarsity.com. And the website is a newer look. It's been updated the last 3-4 weeks. And a great feature for you when it comes to the forums and message boards. But also under the More tab is where you can find the Hail Varsity radio podcast. Find us there.
I would never listen to that show. Sounds like a terrible show.
Might be. Yeah. I do have to ask you this. Your reaction to Urban Meyer producing a pump-up video for this week's game. When's the last time Ohio State put a pump-up video together to face Nebraska? I know they haven't played each other in a while, but you get my question.
Was that him doing that? I know I read that same thing where it's like Urban Meyer. Like, I doubt he was sitting in the editing room.
No, he was not. But, he didn't have I'm sure he had creative control because he controls everything. But does that not seem out of character and desperate for them?
A little bit, right? Like, that's what I'm saying, man. So there's something not right with that crew.
It's not quite Rick Neuheisel bongo drum student section for Colorado, okay? It's not quite that. But how big a mess are they?
You are
stacked to the gills with 4- and 5-star guys. Your secondary, Conley, Hooker, Lattimore, 8th, 12th, 15th in the NFL draft this year. What's up?
Yeah.
What did that Penn State loss do to these guys?
How did they get there in the first place?
It was Indiana. That's the game that derailed them.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's scary about that is their national championship year, 2014, that they kind of went through a rough patch, and then they got right, and they smoked Wisconsin 59-0.
So that's my question. Is tonight Michigan State 2.0, or is tonight Wisconsin Big Ten title game 2.0?
Yeah, it's tough to know. It's tough. That's what's so scary about this one is Nebraska could play well
and still get
lose
rocked
by 17.
Yeah.
They could play well, and then Curtis Samuel, if
that happens, yeah. I think Nebraska fans will be okay. We'll get into this more in a little bit, but, I mean, we both keep our eyes and ears open doing the show and checking out the fan base, but there's not a ton of buzz because you've written this game off a year ago as a loss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say there's not excitement for it, but you're uneasy. I mean, there was some straight-up stress, and you wondered, and there was fear. Uh-oh, it's Wisconsin. But you feel a lot better about your team, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what last Saturday was about. You're going to see what you're made of, and you love what Nebraska's made of. This is kind of that Oklahoma factor tonight where they just got some great dudes on that team, and if they want to show up and they just play free, you don't have a shot.
Well, look, exactly, Nebraska fans are realists.
Yeah.
You're, usually teams don't walk into the horseshoe at night with three walk-ons on the offensive line and come out with a W.
Sure.
That's probably you're not going to happen.
You're not supposed to.
It's very unlikely that Nebraska gets the win tonight in almost every objective measure. You look at like sort of the 18 main statistical categories, you know, rushing offense, rushing defense, passing offense, right, passing defense, punting, that sort of thing.
Right.
The main ones, there's like 18 categories and national ranks for each of those. For as much criticism as Ohio State's receiving, they have the edge in 14 of those 18 categories. You know what I mean? Like everybody, they have no passing game. JT Barrett's completing like 65%. Right? They're like top
five. And he stays in the pocket when there's a rush. He doesn't panic and start chucking it up. Yeah, he's poised.
Like it's relative. Their struggles are relative. They're very relative. They're still upper echelon in pretty much every category across the board, offensively and defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so, I mean, look. And you're walking in there with three walk-ons on the offensive line, with a turnover-prone quarterback at night, under the lights against Urban Meyer, who's lost five games in 5 years. Hmm. Right? It's unlikely.
He's lost two night games the last 2 years, though, as double-digit favorites to ranked opponents.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's also won a bunch of those. Right?
No, I mean,
I'm saying?
I'm picking out the two we can relate to.
I know. It's unlikely. Everybody knows it's
unlikely. Stranger things have happened. Hour two coming up on Hail Varsity Radio. That's Mark Kranak. I'm Chris Schmidt. TJ Henning. I want to remind you about your friends at Sauter Heyman. You have time today to go see Rick and Sauter Heyman and get some of that holiday shopping done early. Maybe it's an anniversary. Maybe it's a birthday. Maybe it's time to save money on that one-carat diamond she wants, and now you can afford $100 a month. Don't shortchange your sweetheart. Go see Rick in Sauter Heyman today, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, out west in Grand Island. Log on, sauterheyman.com. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine next.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you back. Hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mr. Mark Kranak, TJ Henning. The fan poll up on HailVarsity.com after last week's game. As your opinion on Nebraska's chances against Ohio State tonight change? Can vote? Can log on HailVarsity.com. And when you log on to HailVarsity, you read amazing work by Aaron Sorensen, by Jake Padilla. Jake Jensen does a nice job. Brandon Vogel and his hot reads and his stats six-pack, among all things. You can even watch Mark Kranak in the Hail Varsity No Huddle. That's incredible, must-see every week. We welcome in Brandon Vogel from Columbus, Ohio, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how are you this morning, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. I saw Alan Jackson last night. We'll get into football in a second, but you know what? That's a pretty good time.
Underappreciated guitarist.
Well, completely underappreciated guitarist, but just about an hour and a half, hour 45 of just playing the hits, and it was a good old time. Are you an Alan Jackson guy, or were you, Vogues?
Never was heavy into him, but in sort of coming to him after the fact. Uh-huh. You've got a lot of good songs, you know, and when you stack them up against, I guess, what country music is today, he gets better by the year, is how I'll put that.
Yeah, see, you're a great point, because there are a lot of, well, and it's music so overall. Good. There's not a lot of great musicians anymore.
He gets better by the year.
That's true, though, right? But there's not a lot of great musicians. He's a legitimate musician. Like, he's a very competent and talented guitar player.
Yes, and that, you know, even when you go back to the real old days of country music, that was not all the case, not always the case. It is not a sort of musician's genre a lot of the time, but he is in that group.
Who does he remind you of in college football?
I got nothing for you on that one.
He gets better by the year. So, what, some of those great Syracuse teams at the Donovan McNabb era? I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing a name out there.
Yeah, there's pretty much nothing that reminds me more of Alan Jackson than mid-90s Syracuse football.
Okay, I had to go there. Let's talk. Yeah. Let's talk
Donovan Spotwood?
Nebraska Quentin teens. Spotwood. Nebraska teens football is in 2016, and your hot reads, the biggest challenge yet. I imagine writers sit down to write, and then they get frustrated, and they crumple up, and they throw in the garbage can when you get frustrated here. And then I imagine Danny Langsdorf looking at the injury report Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday, and then trying to put his thesis together, right, and then put it into action, and then crumpling things up because, no, this dude's hurt. No, this guy's hurt. You titled it perfectly, the biggest challenge yet. Where's he going tonight? What can he put down on paper, and did they practice this week to use tonight against NFL dudes when they are so walking and so wounded?
Yellow bombs, maybe. I mean, that's sort of been the one spot where Ohio State's prone to give up some yards is they'll make you complete less than 50% of your passes and play real tight. But if you can slip behind them, you might get a chance that way. I mean, the Penn State passing numbers from that game a couple of weeks ago were just freakish. Six of their eight completions, they only had eight completions, went for 15 yards or more. They averaged 25 yards on those six plays. So, you know, Nebraska's going to have to be able to hit some of those. They're going to have to be able to move the ball a little bit through the air, because with the offensive line in the state that it's at, it's going to be tough for Nebraska to line. It's tough for a lot of teams to line up and run it. That said, like, Wisconsin put up 450 yards on Ohio State. They only put up 333 against Nebraska. So I think there will be ways. It's just going to be one of those games where 75-80% of the plays look like they're just getting stuffed or not doing much. And that's kind of okay. That's how good Ohio State is. So what's Nebraska going to do on the rest of them is the question.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Seathan Carter is due to come back tonight from what you're hearing. How much do we expect from him? Is he going to be limited on certain plays? What do you know about that?
Yeah, it sounds like pretty limited. He's on the travel roster, so he's here available, but it sounds like it's going to be, you know, when Divine Ozigbo came back for his first game. He was there. You didn't see him a whole lot. I think the issue with him really is edge blocking, which would be the reason, at least for me, that I think Nebraska needs him back the most. And if you can't do that so well, then for a guy like him, deception is part of it. Being out there, not knowing how Nebraska's going to use him is a big thing. So he's here. I think you'll see him a little bit, but not a whole lot. I'd be surprised if he shows up in the final stat sheet.
Did Brendan Riley make the trip?
That I don't know at this point. We'll see, you know, because when you talk about sort of beating Ohio State deep, he's one of your top options there. So, although, you know, it wouldn't be a bad time for another big Alonzo Moore game. He's been a little quiet of late.
That's a great call. And we all remember how he really opened things up. Final couple minutes of the Northwestern game, Nebraska went into half up 10-7. And the big reason for that was Zoe getting deep on that 50-yarder. They're up 14-7 instead of 10-7 if he don't get tripped up inside the five. Do you think Alonzo's been clamped down upon or do you think he's been hurt? Because I know he missed a game. He's had the shoulder issue. He was back for the jet sweep touchdown run, obviously against Purdue. But how healthy do you think he's been? He'd never tell you he's hurt either.
No, he wouldn't. I think he's been a little dinged, but not too bad. I mean, really, like it's probably more an issue of sort of the offensive line struggles, sort of in its the wave of an effect that it's had on the offense as a whole. You know, Tommy's numbers in October way down, like across the board, rushing numbers gone down, and some of that's just playing tougher opponents too. But Nebraska hasn't had a ton of those big plays to anyone. So I think it's just more of a sort of the ripple effect of when you can't get people blocked, it becomes pretty tough to move the ball.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. It's funny you mentioned Tommy's numbers in October. That's sort of Ohio State's story too, right? I mean, September, yeah. Lights out. They're putting up 700 yards on people. They're blowing out Oklahoma. They've looked very pedestrian ever since. What's your gut tell you? Does your gut tell you that tonight is sort of when Ohio State kind of, gets over their kind of mid-season slump and turns it on? Or do you think this is just somewhat of a fundamentally flawed team due to their youth and, that they're sort of a mid-20 points per game type team at this point?
Yeah, I think there is still a chance for them to sort of turn it around and make a statement, and it wouldn't surprise me if this were the game. Because you look at from where they're at, they've heard about how young they are, how they can't throw the deep ball, how JT Barrett's too conservative. You know, they've heard all this stuff now for 3 weeks, but we know the ceiling and the ability for this team. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if they came out like really anxious to kind of make a statement and do it at Nebraska's expense. I don't think this game is going to go down that way. Like, I think it'll be close for the most part, but it's going to be really important to watch those first quarter and a half. Nebraska's got to hang in there because I think it is going to be sort of a flurry of punches. And then we'll find out. We're going to find out something about this Ohio State team, I think, because it's kind of all on the table here for them to kind of prove that they're not that team that we've seen over the past 3 weeks, Mark.
Vogues, what's the buzz been like for you? What's kind of been your interpretation from the Nebraska fan base this week?
It's been sort of strangely quiet. I think everyone's aware of the task at hand, but I would point out that the most shocking thing to me this week, and pouring over numbers and watching some of those games that Ohio State's played recently, is that Northwestern, Penn State, and Wisconsin didn't do anything superhuman to be in the game with Ohio State. They just played good. They played solid. They ran what they ran offensively. I don't think any of those teams won the turnover margin. At best, they were even. So Nebraska's got to do that. Like, come back out. I mean, we're going to learn a lot about Nebraska too. It's easy to sort of put Ohio State up on the pedestal, and especially when you're going to their house at night. But you can. This is kind of not those same teams, and Nebraska's not the same team. So I think they can do what they do and stay in this game.
Brandon Vogel, Hail Varsity Radio, is with us as we talk Nebraska and Ohio State. Nebraska defensively, it appears to me that they're playing at the type of level that you feel okay going into Ohio State, because it's you got to tackle in space, and Nebraska's doing that, right? They've been a really good tackling team the past few weeks. Do you see that changing against Ohio State just because of the caliber of athlete they have? Or do you think that's something that's just sort of, this is like Nebraska's identity? They will tackle you.
It could change a little bit. Like, you may notice, a handful more of just a guy making another guy miss, I think. That's kind of what you get playing against Ohio State. You know, during that Indiana game, it was kind of amazing to look at the numbers there and watch that game and see all of those solo tackles. But in the back of your mind, you had to be thinking, or at least I was. I was like, hey, if you have to do the same thing against Ohio State, the numbers aren't quite as favorable for you because you miss one against, you know, a five-star. Then they don't go down to the ground after that. No one else catches up to them. So that's the danger here. They can also, you know, just stay out of those situations a little bit. But Nebraska's defense, I'm not too worried about their ability in this game. I think the key for them will be stopping the run. Like, if Ohio State's hitting the big plays in the run game, it becomes really a big problem because they can stay in their comfort zone that way, and they'll just do that. Haven't been able to do it a lot of late. And when you put the onus for Ohio State on the passing game, then you're kind of playing the game you want to play. So Nebraska's got to find a way to get there, and it all comes down to give up 3-4 yards in the run game. That's okay. You have to play another down. But if you're getting 6-7 yards a carry, you're in some trouble.
Vogues, do you think you'll see an offensive game plan similar to that of the Oregon and Northwestern blueprints? And I know you had a different injury situation back in game 3 and 4 than you do now, but just from a priority standpoint, you had 16 and 13 carries for Armstrong respectively, and he went for 132 against Northwestern. He went for 96 against Oregon. I think the closer Tommy is to 100 yards rushing, the better the chances are, right? I mean, that's not super insightful math, but that's just a parallel I see. When they've played well, he's run well, obviously. Do you think Nebraska will prioritize that? I know that he ran a lot last week, but it seemed like at some of the points in the game where they could have ran him, they didn't, or he didn't make the right read, whatever you want to say. But it seemed like when it seemed like it was okay for Tommy to run the football and make something happen with his legs, they didn't go there. Did they go there this week?
I think you try it because it's obviously a weapon. You start to look at teams that of Ohio State's caliber. So, you know, up at the very top, probably one of the top five teams in the country in terms of overall talent. And it's not unique to teams lower than that. Everyone hates to face that quarterback who can be sort of the extra man in the run game. Nebraska has that ability with Tommy. We just haven't seen it a ton over the past couple of weeks. And he can do some of that on his own, but they still need to be able to get it blocked. So I think it comes back down to what you mentioned, Chris, is just we'll see. Like, yeah, in terms of who's available up front, what they're able to do, how they're able to handle some of these 4- and 5-star guys that play on the defensive line for Ohio State. It's just back to the image, which was perfect at the start. It's kind of Danny Langsdorf sitting down to write this opening script of, all right, here's what we're going to come out and run against these guys. And then just getting about 7 plays in and pitching each one in the trash because I sense the frustration with him. And I have really since the Indiana game, which is like, well, we can try some of these things, but I don't really know how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just kind of where Nebraska's at health-wise at this point.
That's super interesting. So let's expand on that a little more. So your sense is from Danny Langsdorf is he's almost at a loss at this point?
He's at like, what the hell do I do? That's, to me, what's going on.
And yeah, that's how it feels to me as well. So you kind of put that and you put a talent multiplier on all of it. So if it was there against Purdue, what does it look like against the most talented team in the conference? And despite all that, I still think, like I said, I still think Nebraska can be in the game. I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt on that front, but it's going to be really, really tough.
Hey, Brandon, how about the defensive line this year? Big question coming in. Didn't know if Perella would have an immediate impact or not. Didn't know if guys would step up. I'm not seeing stars or all conference type folks, but I'm seeing a pretty competent bunch overall. How would you assess the defensive line's contribution to the defense this year?
Been pretty significant, and not totally unsurprising. So you started back in spring football thinking, well, who knows what to expect from the D-line. And it would have been a tough time at that point considering all of the defections that had just happened in spring football. As we got a little closer to the season and you'd just been able to see John Perella coach, talk to him a little bit, I kind of turned there and thought, defensive line's going to be fine. And I think that's where it's at now. Like, they've given up some, I guess, efficiency in run defense a little bit, you know, and you'll take that. So the long pass plays, that part of it has totally flipped. Nebraska was one of the worst in the country last year. Now they're one of the best. And you add in the deflections Nebraska had on the defensive line. They're not stopping the run quite as well. You have to worry more about the long running play at this point. And that's kind of okay. But overall, I would say really impressive job from John Perella. Really impressive job by a couple guys that are on that line that we didn't know a lot about.
Wow. Vogues, are you there?
Well, the beeping would tell me he's not.
Well, TJ's sitting there actually engaged in our interview.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's early for him. TJ goes to bed at 4 a.m. usually.
Ohio State fans cutting the phone cords.
Yeah, call him back. Well, this happened yesterday. I thought somebody popped Klausburn. We're doing the forecast, and he was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's too bad, because he was making one hell of a point. Vogues, continue. We didn't do that on purpose.
As I was saying, Ross has played very well, as everyone has seen. But Maurice, Stoltenberg, and Davis. You know, you maybe had an idea that, well, you came in thinking Maurice was the best guy on the defensive line. But now you've got, I think, really four guys to consider. And Freedom obviously has an impact, too. So overall, my overall point, A-plus John Perella.
I think Stoltenberg, by the way, projects as a pretty big-time NFL prospect. Not right now, but you're seeing it a little bit out of him, aren't you now? Like, that dude is stalwart. Yeah, he's he's pretty tough to move.
He definitely is. And, you know, it'll be real interesting to see once Perella has some of his, I guess, own recruits in. Because you can see what he's doing with these guys. I think Nebraska is going to be pretty good on the defensive line going forward as long as he is here.
Lastly, Vogues, how did you celebrate the Cubs? You've been you and Sharpie are the two biggest Cub fans I know. And,
oh, you're one of them, Vogel?
Well,
oh,
but he's been a Cub fan since. I mean, we all wore those socks we pulled up to our knees with the red and the blue, you know, striping. So he has the floor now to share his thoughts on this because he's been cheering for these guys forever.
Yeah, I actually haven't celebrated yet. I was saving it tonight because I'm going to wear a full pinstripe uniform to Ohio Stadium tonight. And that will be my celebration. High socks, the whole bit. No, it was I kind of settled in for a 3-hour rain delay the night of that game when they brought the tarp out, and I was a little bit concerned. I was like, well, I've got to get somebody to like call me if I fall asleep, try and stay awake. But thankfully that went away, and it was obviously a happy moment, but also sort of strange in that, like, well, this had been one way for so long, not just my entire lifetime, but you know, multiple generations for people. And then all of a sudden it wasn't. And it's kind of the way things, I think, should have gone. Cubs were the best team in baseball all year long. And they finally looked like it again over those last three games. So it was a good feeling, but one that was kind of tough to describe.
Yeah, what's this? They won it, right?
Yes, very much so.
Happy for you, Vogues. Thanks for the great work you're doing on HailVarsity.com. I can't wait to read your column after the Ohio State-Nebraska game. Have a good time in Columbus, and thanks for a few minutes.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Awesome stuff. Good stuff from Brandon Vogel.
I didn't know he was a Cubs fan.
The thing he did, he tweeted out his first Cubs hat, okay? And it's from his dad, and it was 1984. It's like hat day at Wrigley. He tweeted that out. I have divorced the Cubs. I said, no more. This goes back to 03. So while I kind of grinned and thought about Grandma Schmidt, she was a huge Sammy Sosa fan. Thankfully, I didn't have to break it to her that he loved pharmacy. I couldn't go that extra step the other night and get full on crazed in celebration, because I'm happy for them, but I'm no longer cheering for them. Not cheering against them. I just my investment. I was out of investment funds to being a Cubs fan.
I got Cubs fatigue over the past month or so.
Yeah, but you're a Braves guy, and only one World Series and 48 trips to the postseason. That those 20 years probably does that to you. You still have your Dale Murphy fathead shirt. I know you do.
I did have a Dale Murphy shirt. I need to get another one.
I know you do.
He tweeted back at me one time. You know that? About a screwball.
Yeah, you told me that.
That was big. That was a big moment for me.
Yeah, Dale Murphy.
I just packed it in after that happened. I was just, all right, this day's done. I'm going to bed.
It's a win.
Yep.
Another win. Gary Sharp, Cubs fan, but Nebraska aficionado. The Iron Horse. He'll join us next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Thank you, Dean Wormer. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, DJ Heading. Thanks to Brandon Vogel in Columbus. Welcome in the Iron Horse. Cub fan. Longtime Cub fan. And Husker aficionado, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, another big one. How you doing?
Well, after it would have been a whole different story if Wednesday had not gone well. But
Now, we'll get into the Ohio State thing here, but I asked Vogel, and he's still waiting to break out the celebration. I still think he's in disbelief. I had a Budweiser at midnight at Lancaster's with Iowa Russ. Just, you know, thinking about Grandma Schmidt, and it was cool. And all the trips Dad took me and Mom and Dad took me to Wrigley when I was growing up. Now, the one T-shirt the wife hasn't thrown out is my Cubby Bear one from 1998. I've protected that. How did you finally just let go and say, yes, they did it after years? I mean, dude, you grew up close to the AAA team, obviously. Yeah. And going to Wrigley, and you went to one of the games in the series this year.
I was there on Sunday. I celebrated with a bottle of Fireball.
The whole?
Oh,
whole good. Bottle?
Well, I mean, once you start, I mean, I was doing okay. I was pacing myself, and then Rajay Davis hit a home run, and then I wasn't pacing myself anymore. And then they won, and I thought, what the heck? This would be a waste of a couple of sips.
Yeah. Fireball, that's always a good decision.
Yeah, on Saturday morning it still is a great decision.
Gary Sharp is wasted on Fireball. Joins us on the Hail Varsity Radio Show.
Hey, so now let me ask you, because this might lead to a question. Okay, so there's a lot of buzz for the Cubs game. There's an election that's going to happen on Tuesday. It's very rare that Nebraska football plays back-to-back big games. Games that have a lot of meaning to them. There's really not a ton of confidence in either fan base. Have you ever been around a Nebraska game that is technically a top 10 matchup that has as little buzz in Columbus and Lincoln and their respective states and their fan bases as this one does? It almost seems to me that ESPN has tried to promote this game and plug this game, and they've given it more love and more push and more buzz than fan bases have.
No, you're right on. Absolutely. It's been on the radar, but it's been way off the radar, comparatively speaking, this week to other things. It's not – that's what's screwed up. That's what's so weird, Gary, is Nebraska gained some respect by the national pundits. Nebraska is a confident team, but the fan base isn't. And Ohio State's a mess right now, but at least and even, you know, it's not all been overshadowed either by LSU-Bama. It's just it's just kind of the times we're living right now, which is so weird to say because any other year this thing's a monster. This game's a monster tonight. It still is, but it's not getting the pub because the fan bases are kind of unsure. Is that fair?
Well, and we are to November 5th. This is a crazy thing. And I know there's not an overwhelming majority or a very underwhelming minority that expect Nebraska to win. But we're November 5th to the final month of the regular season. The West Division is great because there's five teams that think they can still win it. And would it be crazy to say that Ohio State has more questions about what they're doing right now than Nebraska does? Really, the only question Nebraska has that stands out is who's going to play on any given Saturday. I think that's this could just be a weird night in Columbus, or it could be the night where Ohio State gets right and Ohio State looks like September Buckeyes instead of what we've seen in the month of October.
But you also think, you know, you're right though, and you doing a show all week, Chris. You doing a show all week. When I was, you know, trying to get the Hail Varsity No Huddle together, it was weird after Wisconsin because so many questions were answered in that game, right? And that always helps drive the discussion, drive the debate, drive the, you know, the buzz. But it's sort of, I think Nebraska finally knows. I don't know. Nebraska fans finally know what they have. They know they have a team that won't wilt. They know that. And then after watching the Sam Fultz thing, you know that this team is, they're absolutely going to be focused. But do we know if they can hang with the primo athletes tonight? No, we don't really know. And so it just kind of seems like everybody's just like, well, let's just see. Let's just see if Nebraska can, you know, I liken this to sort of like Wisconsin basketball versus Kentucky basketball. Nebraska is Wisconsin, Kentucky is Ohio State, right? It's just like...
I like that.
Right? Just tons of athletes. Nebraska's got a system. They're focused. They're locked in, blah, blah, blah. But can they actually slow down the dudes from, you know, alley-oop and all over our ass?
And not to kid yourself, the spread is the way it is for a reason because I think Vegas is thinking Ohio State will break out and they will win big in this football game. I don't think Vegas is looking inside some of the issues with chunky play calling or guys looking tight or disinterested or whatever it is. You know, Ohio State has the fellas on the other side of the football. This is a game plan game. This is what have you done in the week leading up to it to come up with schematically a game plan that can throw the other team off that your team has bought into and your team will execute. Because we've talked all week, that game, I think you judge growth in Nebraska football by how you woke up on Sunday morning. If you probably weren't angry like you were 2 years ago when Nebraska played in Madison. For me, I was like disappointed, and you could be kicking yourself because that game was there to be won Saturday night. There were a handful of little plays and just little moments, technique or just missing that Nebraska had right there to win the football game that they didn't. And that's the next step in the growth of the program is either you can make those mistakes and still win a football game, or you're mentally dialed in for 60 minutes where you don't have the list of mistakes that they made on Saturday night, the little mistakes that came back to hurt them where, you know, maybe that game never even gets to overtime if you're able to execute a pass to Brandon Riley or a guy comes off a run fit and is able to stop Clement, you know, running by him or stop Obi. You know, it's one of those things. I think you're absolutely right, Mark. We learned a lot about Nebraska, and maybe we already knew that as the season has unfolded. But now the next step is tonight is you're going to have to be mentally dialed in, and you're going to have some guys play at a championship level and play probably better than they played against Wisconsin, especially on that defensive side of the ball.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, I know the quarterback gets too much praise and gets too much guff if they don't perform well. And Tommy's been here a while and he's just Tommy. And that's a compliment because on 3rd and 8, the guy was really good last Saturday for the most part. On 3rd and 4, when it was wide open, not so much at times. Does he take that next step and play well enough to win? I'm not saying he has to outplay Barrett, but Can he be the difference tonight? Does he have to be the difference, or can other guys step up? Can the guys around him step up and make his job easier?
Well, biggest fear is, how are you going to keep him upright? I think that offensive line, can you protect Tommy long enough? This is the thing about Tommy, and we've now gone 7 years with kind of the same type of quarterback, and I think it's made, in some cases, it's lazy how we look at quarterbacks. Tommy is good in some things. He's inconsistent in others. And why can't we just say that and move on instead of this debate that gives you a headache about, well, I got to defend Tommy. I don't have to defend Tommy. Tommy is who he is. There are times that when he gets into a pressure situation, he reverts back to muscle memory and some of his technique. Then there's other times that he is rolling right along and you're like, wow, that's the guy I like. So we all kind of know that. And you don't know the whole gamut of what you're going to get, because you may see a lot of good out of Tommy tonight. I mean, it's very rare that he has back-to-back bad games. But I don't know that we ever roll into a game and say, Tommy, go win it. Tonight, it's not Tommy against JT Barrett, but it's Tommy making somebody else stand out on Nebraska's offense. You know, we thought the screen game would be important last week. They only did it once. But he needs Nebraska first and foremost to help Tommy out. They need to be able to run the ball. If they can run the ball, then they've got a shot. But I go back to Saturday. They were able to run it, but it was inconsistent. And especially in the zone read game, it was so clunky. Mm-hmm. There weren't a lot of like clean handoffs. There weren't a lot of clean reads. So I don't know what was going on there. But Nebraska can't have that tonight. Nebraska has to be on top of the game, and they got to have guys up front that can block one on one, that can win a one on one battle, and then you hope with some play action that you're able to get Ohio State in man-to-man situations against their talented defensive backs and your Nebraska wide receivers. They go and win balls. Like Stanley Morgan, I think, could have a really, really big night tonight against the secondary of Ohio State.
If Nebraska gets this win, maybe this is part of why it's quiet too, because you know you just sort of want to shut up and see how it plays out. Major program changer tonight, right? I mean, do you think that's part of why people are quiet? Like, not just a season changer, but like a program, the ripple effects of a victory tonight will be, they would be huge. And it's tough to even compare it to anything we've seen in the last several years.
Oh, most definitely. And because then you go to Tuesday and Nebraska's, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 in the college football playoff poll. And all of a sudden, all of that stuff is real. And you're still thinking, okay, how did this team get there?
Right.
It's really a strange season. Going back to my first question I asked you guys about the buzz, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think one of the reasons is it's a back-to-back big game. You know, we don't have that a lot in Nebraska. You would play Wisconsin, and then you'd have a couple of weeks, and then you'd play another big team. But you're playing back-to-back. But the thing that gives me hope for tonight, and don't kid yourself, everybody knows that Ohio State's got fellas, and at some point Ohio State's going to break out and all of a sudden they're going to get hot and they'll have guys running all over the place. But this team, there's not ups and downs. They've been this week just like last week, just like Purdue week in terms of how they approach it and how they talk about it. And, you know, they're in the moment. I mean, they know where they're at. It's just, do they have enough talent on the football field tonight to beat Ohio State? And that's, you know, it happens, it's football. But the injury situation, guys, you know, Tommy, you can see the way he ran the football and some of the decisions that he made while he was running. He's not even close to 100%. You got the offensive line that's banged up. I mean, you're going to have three former or current walk-ons that are going to start against that defensive line of Ohio State tonight. You know, Brandon Riley, you know, that's a hit.
Yeah.
It's one of those nights where – but it could make it more rewarding if you're able to gut it through tonight and schematically you stick to your game plan and you're able to win the football game. Watch that opening drive on both sides off scripted plays. Ohio State has only scored 10 points on their 8 opening drives, and they turned the ball over 3 times. I think it's important for Nebraska to get a stop, but I think it's important for Nebraska to put points on the board early, because that'll be a tension convention. There's a lot of Ohio State fans who are not super confident. Even I think their football coach, look last week against Northwestern after their opening drive, they all of a sudden didn't get the circus rolling. Northwestern stayed in the football game, and there was twice in Northwestern territory that Urban Meyer punted the football. So tonight's the night to put pressure on Ohio State and see how they react instead of Ohio State going up and see how you react.
It's all about pressure, and it's on Ohio State. They're the favorite. They're at home. They're supposed to win this. There's a hype video because, you know, Nebraska's coming in. I've never thought that's something that Ohio State would do for Nebraska, at least the way Nebraska has been. But, yeah, it's either going to get them cranked up or it's going to put more pressure on them. Sharpie, lastly, the best and most dynamic part of the Ohio State offense is their zone read game. They can go with two backs out of the shotgun and really mess with you. What do you do if you're Desiris or Freedom or whoever's at defensive end? Because what I've noticed, I mean, we're talking about a 12th-hour decision mesh point-wise on the zone read. I mean, he's pulling that thing. Barrett is at the last second, or he's sticking it in there at the last second under the armpit of a Weber or a Samuels. How do you D that up if you're a Nebraska defensive end? How do you stay patient?
When you get the opportunity, you got to make a tackle, but you've got to play smart, and you can't be trying to play hero ball. I think the interior guys could mess a lot of things up. You know, that Ohio State offensive line is still a work in progress. But if you can jam things up right in the interior and throw rhythm off, I think you help everybody else on the field. So, you know, the Kevin Maurices, the Stoltenbergs, the Davises, that trio that played really well last Saturday night, I think they have to play well. But the defensive ends have to show up. You know, the defensive ends have been playing okay, but not real a bunch of flash plays. Mm-hmm. Tonight's a night where they definitely have to show up. But watch for the linebackers. And this has to be another night where Marcus Newby is involved. Banderas is involved. Michael Rose-Ivy is involved. I mean, they're going to need a team defensive effort. But don't you guys feel if Nebraska is going to win this game, it's because of those black shirts and not because Nebraska wins a scoring derby or, you know, is able to put points on the board?
No, it's on the defense again. Absolutely. It is.
And I think that's where, you know what, it's okay to have that confidence because they might not be the greatest defense, but they appear to be a defense that makes smart decisions and aren't going to put themselves in bad situations very often. You just hope that one or two times where you have a bad run fit or you run into the referee or something that Ohio State doesn't house it. Because they can, with Curtis Samuel or Mike Weber or Barrett, I mean, in a blink of an eye, I mean, they're hitting their head on the goalpost and you're like, uh-oh, here we go, 2012 all over again.
Right. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, we'll catch up again. Thanks for your time and insight. Congrats to your Cubbies.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great show, as always.
Appreciate it, man. Awesome
thanks,
stuff.
Gary.
No, and he's right on. And that's the uncertainty, right, where you can do everything perfect but be off. And it's one thing for Wisconsin to crank out a 40-yard run on 3rd and 10 because it was well blocked and it was a great play call. Yeah. And they got a good dude running the ball. But the difference between Wisconsin and Ohio State takes it to the house. That's the difference, the big play potential to finish off a big play in the end zone.
Bunch of Allen Iversons.
Just great, great athletes.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Run a box and one on him all you want, he still might juke
you. He's still going to score. That's Mark Crane at Chris Schmidt. TJ Henning will wind down a Saturday on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?
That would hurt. No TV for a week would be, I don't know, only had to suffer through that once in my life. And at this point, with Junior about to turn 10, it's really more pressure on us because he does something where he's grounded for a week. It's now our problem, not his, if he has no TV or a way to entertain himself. Entertaining tonight or kind of a grind-out effect, Kranak? What do you think?
I think it'll be entertaining. I think Nebraska will come ready to play. I'll be shocked if they win it, though. Won't you? I mean, I legitimately, like, jaw dropped.
I've not gone through that motion in my mind as to seeing it play out that they win. I could entertain it against Wisconsin. You know, Drew Brown for the win. He should have got that chance. But I have not gone through any steps as to how or why they can. I mean, I've gone through why they can win, but I've not envisioned a win. I'll put it that way.
I envision more
heartache.
But if the clock hits zero and that team walks off the field with a W in the horseshoe, we have entered a new era in Nebraska football. Period.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, straight up, new era overall for the entire program.
Thanks for tuning in this morning. Mark Kranach, the best. TJ Henning, you're awesome. Chris Schmidt. If you missed any part, log on HaleVarsity.com. Be a premium subscriber. Join the Husker community and find the podcast. Talk to you on Monday. Thanks.